Pinkerton football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chardon.
The Boilermakers are hoping a new approach leads to better results Saturday when they welcome in Nebraska to Ross-Ade Stadium. Hi, I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Dienhard, Brian Newbert, and Alan Karpik here for the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we break down Saturday's matchup. All right, Tom, Purdue and Nebraska, noon on Saturday in Ross-Ade Stadium. And Tom, I get the feeling this week a little bit from Jeff Brohm that he wants his team to be a little bit more relaxed, have a little bit of fun out there. Sling the ball around the yard, not quite put so much pressure on themselves, and maybe the old ball coach not quite put so much pressure on them as well. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, sometimes you're better off in life if you can just, you know, take that relaxed approach. Let's be honest. It's not like Purdue's playing for a championship this year or anything. At this point, take that approach, see if you can finish the year, you know, with some momentum, play well, and, of course, if you win out, you go to a bowl game. So, again, the relaxed approach, maybe that will prove to be a beneficial thing for Purdue.
I think it's been an interesting contrast then with Scott Frost, who appears to want his players to eat rocks for breakfast, to carry chainsaws around the field, and go shirtless for most of the game. It is a contrast, though, right? I mean, he's sort of getting after them a little bit this week, whereas I feel like maybe Jeff Brohm is like, hey, let's go out there and have a little bit of fun again, maybe take the pressure off and win a football game.
Yeah, you know, Scott Frost is the ultimate tough guy, right? The jaw clenched, very intense individual. And I think collectively and personally for Frost, they were very, very disappointed with that loss last week at home to Indiana. Seemed to be a new low for the program. You know, Nebraska has four wins. They need two more to get bowl eligibility. I think they have a good shot, of course. They're pinched on this end as one of the two wins they think they can get. So the stakes are pretty high for the Huskers coming here.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. For Purdue, still the possibility of a bowl. It's a little bit bigger climb for the Boilermakers. 2-6 needing to win out. Is Purdue even thinking about that at this point?
You know, Jeff Brohm really led me to think that they're not really focused on that at this point. Like you said, it is a possibility. The hill looks pretty steep. Nebraska at Northwestern, at Wisconsin, Indiana at home. Again, some tough matchups there, obviously. Again, I think Brohm, again, isn't really focused on that. Like most coaches, he wants to look at what's right in front of him and I think try to finish this year on an up note.
Jack Plummer named the starter on Monday. A little bit of an about-face by Brohm after saying it would be an open competition during the week following the loss last week to Illinois. I sort of put this in the same category as the, you know, we're going to go have a little bit more fun, play a little bit more relaxed, take the pressure off a little bit. I think he wants to take the pressure off Plummer here a little bit, name him the starter, throw some support behind him, see if he can make some improvements. What's your theory on why Brohm, you know, changed direction there on Monday?
I think it gives you the best chance to win, honestly. Oh, yeah. No offense to Aiden O'Connell, but Jack Plummer's a better quarterback. He gives Purdue the better chance to win this ball game. It is a winnable ball game, even though Las Vegas has made the Boilermakers the underdog. And, yeah, Plummer still has his faults. He's just still a redshirt freshman. He can drift in the pocket at times. Sometimes he holds on to the ball too long. Sometimes he struggles to find his secondary receivers and doesn't maybe take the run that's available to him. But again, we all know the issues with the offensive line and the injuries at wide receivers. So again, not an ideal situation for a young quarterback to operate in. But I think, as we saw in the Maryland game, Kyle, when properly protected, when the weapons are dialed in, you know, Plummer can be a very effective signal caller.
Adrian Martinez expecting to play for Nebraska this week after missing the last couple of weeks with a knee injury. That certainly gives the Cornhuskers a boost. They are the road favorite, just a narrow favorite in this contest. But here we are, Tom, in week 10. How much do we know about these two teams?
Well, quite a bit, I think. Very similar in a lot of fronts, especially offensively. Their line for Nebraska has really struggled this year. You talked about the injury to Adrian Martinez. That's been something they've had to deal with. getting him back is huge. Fans remember last year in Lincoln, Purdue won there. And Martinez, though, had a great ball game. Passed for over 300 yards, two touchdowns, ran for 91 yards. 6'2", 225-pound kid who can really execute this Scott Frost offense. But I will say this, Kyle. the two quarterbacks who played in his absence, Vedral and McCaffrey, both are very talented as well. So should Martinez for some reason not start, should they have to play one of those backups, this Nebraska offense should still be pretty effective.
Much more to go on the show today. We'll get a weather update. That could be big again this week. We'll see about that. The forecast is supposed to be a little bit better than what it was last week in West Lafayette. We'll check in with WLFI meteorologist Annie Brown. Also, we'll get an inside look at Nebraska coming up. We'll bring in Brian Newberg, get his take on the Boilermakers and the Cornhuskers as well. All that and much more coming up on Gold and Black Radio.
Thanks, Kyle. If you're traveling up to West Lafayette for game day, isolated wintry mix is expected in the area after midnight until 7 a.m. Minor, if any, accumulations are expected. For those of you ready to go tailgate, mostly cloudy conditions is what you can expect. We will remain dry with temps hovering right around that freezing mark until 10 a.m. West winds around 5 to 10 miles per hour will keep our wind chills in the 20s up until kickoff at noon. Be sure to dress for the cold. Luckily, that cloudy sky will break apart during halftime, so be sure to pack the sunglasses for the third and fourth quarter. Westerly winds picking up by the fourth with gusts around 20 to 25 miles per hour, but no precipitation is expected. Keep in mind there's only two more chances to cheer on our Boilermakers at home, so let's have a great showing and have the victory over the Cornhuskers.
This is a Horizon Bank commercial for loans. It's a time most advertisers carve out to tell you all about themselves, why you should like them. In short, a chance for them to talk to you. So why aren't we telling you about our loan services? We're waiting for you to tell us about yourself, because what you have to say is more important than what we have to say. Visit horizonbank.com to get a conversation started.
Weather brought to you by Horizon Bank. Tom's conversation with Sean Callahan, the publisher of HuskerOnline.com, coming up on Golden Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
Hey, Tom Dienhart, to help us break down Nebraska, I've got one of the best in the business, Sean Callahan, been covering the Big Red for a long time, part of the Rivals Network, website Husker Online. Sean, we appreciate you taking time to speak with us today. Nebraska, it looks like it's been a tough year, too, for Scott Frost. Sort of a, give us a quick breakdown on maybe how the season's gone so far for Nebraska.
Yeah, it's been obviously a roller coaster of emotions, starting with the preseason. Nebraska was picked to win the division by the media in the conference for the first time since 2011. That was year one of the Big Ten. This is year nine now for Nebraska in this conference. So there were expectations. There was a schedule, at least, that appeared on paper that was put together to have a very, very good year. And everyone's definition of that's different, whether it was 8, 9 type wins or even more. But here we are, Nebraska's now 4-4. They've had very disappointing losses to Colorado and Indiana. They were blown out by Ohio State. So, you know, that one, and then Minnesota. I mean, so you look at the way the schedule's played out. There were some things about the offense, at least last week, that showed you, like, all right, this is what it's supposed to look like. But they still continue to have, you know, those mistakes that are crucial. And the defense has seemingly regressed week to week. Early on in the year, they struggled against the run at times. Now, last week, it was the first time we saw somebody go at him through the air. Indiana went for over 350 passing yards. So there's a lot of issues right now. 4-4, and you know, I think a lot of people thought maybe this team should be about 6-2 right now. You know, getting to a bowl seems like a tall task. It can happen with Maryland and Purdue on the schedule still. And then you got Wisconsin and Iowa, but. It's been a rough road here at 4-4.
Again, go back to the offense, Sean. First of all, Adrian Martinez, you think he'll play? And if he doesn't, what's that mean for the attack on Saturday in Roseanne Stadium?
Well, it seems like he'll play this week. Just, you know, he suited up, he went through warm-ups, and they nearly put him in the game Saturday. They had two other quarterbacks play, and they both played really well. I mean, Nebraska had two quarterbacks complete a combined 75 passes, but I believe only 5 of the balls traveled more than 10 yards. So a lot of quick hitting, high percentage stuff, screens and quick reads. And Noah Vedral started the game. He's a local guy about 20 minutes outside Lincoln. His dad played for Nebraska. His 3 uncles played for Nebraska. So he's a big legacy guy, had a really good start, gets knocked out of the game for a while. Then Luke McCaffrey, the youngest of the famed McCaffrey brothers, comes into the game. And, I mean, he looked like a cross between Eric Crouch and Adrian Martinez. He is as fast of a quarterback as Nebraska's had since Adrian Martinez. And he really did some things to the run game. He threw a perfect screen pass to Wandale Robinson as far as the timing and the read of it that led to a big play. He threw a great touchdown pass. So the two backups, that's probably the deepest position on this team right now. I mean, Nebraska to go 3 deep at quarterback and still put up over 500 yards last week was a real promising sign. With that said, you know, wouldn't surprise me at all if we see Martinez back. You know, he's coming off what appears to be some sort of leg or knee injury, a minor sprain. This will be now 4 weeks between contact when you go Purdue Saturday to when the injury happened. So it's something to watch. But today I would guess we'd see Martinez if I was guessing right now.
Then defensively, you talked about that a little bit off the top. What does that unit do well, and what do you think the vulnerabilities are?
Well, when teams just want to try to physically run at them, they've stopped that. And you heard Tom Allen after the game say that. He goes, look, because we saw how big and strong they are, and we weren't going to be able to even run our big running back, Stevie Scott, just straight at him. It would have been like trying to ram it in the wall. So what the weakness appears to have been is the linebackers. And Nebraska does not really run a true nickel or dime. They don't go into it very often as far as bringing in additional defensive backs. JoJo Doman is a former safety, turned outside linebacker. They call him a nickel, but he's really a linebacker. So they will keep 4 linebackers on the field a lot, if not all the time. And I thought Indiana put a good blueprint down that I think Purdue will probably try to follow this week. Is they're going to just try to match up those linebackers. Nebraska ran a lot of cover 3 drop zone defenses. Obviously, you can't go man-to-man with your linebackers a lot in those situations. And they were just picked apart. I think the linebackers, according to Pro Football Focus, were targeted in coverage at least 15 times on Saturday, and they gave up close to half of the 350 yards passing. So a lot of it was quick underneath. And then the linebackers in general just made bad reads and bad angles. So that's been where they'll go at it, and I would bet Jeff Brohm is going to use a similar attack this week where you know, he's not going to put Plummer in a lot of real high-risk situations, just try to throw the ball out in space and make Nebraska's linebackers make plays.
Special teams, Sean, anything of note there, kicker, punter, return game?
You know, Tom, it's maybe been the worst special teams I've seen in my time around Nebraska football. It has been just a train wreck in a lot of areas. Saturday, They got their kicker back for the first time all year. He's been out with some sort of leg or hip flexor injury. Bear Pickering kicks. First kick he misses. It was really low. He made his second. But they had a kickoff go out of bounds. They had a 19-yard shank punt. So the punting's been really inconsistent. The return game has been next to nothing for Nebraska as far as their primary return guys. And their kick coverage, has not been great. They've allowed, a lot of times this year, guys to the 40 or 50-yard line, at least once a game. So there's been a lot of holes with special teams. It has played a factor for Nebraska in some of these games.
Okay, Sean, this is it. Give me a couple keys for Nebraska if they want to leave West Lafayette with a win on Saturday.
Well, it's the offensive tempo. We saw last week, they came out with the best tempo they played with all year. Indiana had guys going down with, what appeared to be fake injuries, yet guys has fallen down well after the play ended to stop play because the tempo was going so well at times. There were at least five or six instances where Indiana players just dropped to the ground before snap to stop the play. So the tempo was good last week. If they can continue that tempo again, they will put up points and yards, and they'll find it. The running game has been somewhat of an up-and-down deal, but Wandell Robinson now has kind of established himself as their main running back with the injury, the suspension of Maurice Washington, who's gone for the foreseeable future. And if you're not familiar with Wandell Robinson, he's kind of a clone of Rondell Moore. They're from the same area, same trainer, pretty similar names. They use him the same way. So when Purdue fans see Wandell Robinson, they're going to see a lot of Rondell Moore out of his game. Defensively, what will Nebraska come out with schematically? Jeff Brohm is a great spread coach. He's going to spread out Nebraska. He's going to find matchups. After a week where Tom Allen just torched them last week with Indiana's offensive game plan, what will Nebraska do differently this week, knowing that Purdue has a pretty similar spread approach, and Jeff Brohm is one of the best out there?
That's it. You heard it from the best, Sean Callahan, Husker Online, part of the Rivals Network. Sean, we really appreciate your breakdown. I look forward to seeing you Saturday, buddy.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
This is the Golden Black Radio pregame show, the most in-depth guide to Saturday's game you'll find. Featuring the staff of Golden Black.
Let's bring in Brian Newbert to get his perspective on Purdue and Nebraska, and maybe a little bit more than that about the Boilermakers, just the importance, Brian, of these last four games. Purdue still has, I guess, the chance of getting into the postseason, though it would take quite a turnaround here over the last month. But bigger than that, just what do these last four games mean to Purdue now, and maybe more than that, to the future?
Well, you're still building a program here, and no matter what happened this season, and a lot of stuff's happened this season to lead to the outcome Purdue is probably facing when all is said and done here, But you are still building a program. You still need momentum. You still want to do positive things. You still want to build toward next year, the year after that, the year after that. So you just want something you can take from this season to build on. And I think, you know, there is an opportunity here these last four games for Purdue to have some success. I thought they were getting better before the weather against Illinois, which I think was kind of the singular reason Purdue lost that game. But I thought Purdue was getting better, and if they can get back to where they were before Illinois, I think they can certainly compete against Nebraska. I think they can compete against Indiana. I think they can compete against Northwestern. Obviously, Wisconsin's going to be a handful, but if you can do some positive things, if you can compete, if you can win a couple more games here, perhaps you can walk out of this season with something to show for a year where everything went wrong on the injury front that could have gone wrong.
How much is Jeff Brohm doing in evaluating his players, almost like a spring, like over these last 4 weeks, where he's evaluating Jack Plummer to see whether he feels like, you know, he can be the quarterback in 2020 and beyond? He's evaluating some of the younger offensive linemen, maybe some of the younger linebackers, some of those young cornerbacks, you know, things like that. How much do you feel like that's going on here in games and in practice over the last month of the season?
Yeah, well, he hasn't had any choice because a lot of what would have been his third team a month and a half ago is his is his team. You know, obviously a lot of guys have had to play that probably weren't going to play otherwise. A lot of tracks to the field have been accelerated here, and that's not only giving Purdue an opportunity to evaluate its personnel earlier, but it's forcing that personnel to perform now. So not only is that giving the coaches an opportunity to evaluate it, but it's giving an opportunity, theoretically, for those guys to improve on the fly. And if you're just a little bit better next season in some ways because of that, that might be one of the sort of tangential positives that come out of this season. But I think you'd rather have the alternative of having had a full deck this season to play with. If you're hanging all the benefit of this season on, you know, Kali Saunders or whoever it might be being a little bit better next year, I think you would rather have the alternative. But be that as it may, you take what this season, whatever you can, and if some young players have come along a little bit faster than they would have otherwise, I think that that's something to take from this season if that turns out to be the case.
Why do you think he reversed course, Brohm, on Plummer this week?
I don't know. I thought Plummer was clearly the guy they should go with, whether he can, not that my opinion matters all that much, but I thought that they had enough of invested in him at this point. I think he's talented enough where what he'd done prior to Illinois was worth sticking with him. I think, you know, sometimes when you're dealing with young quarterbacks, and I'm not sure if Jeff Brohm has, as a head coach, had a freshman quarterback. This might be kind of a little bit of a new situation for him. Not that he's not been around the block as a coach before in his career, but you might handle a freshman quarterback a little bit different than a junior or senior like he had the last couple years with David Blau and Elijah Sindelar. You know, you do kind of, at least theoretically, you do kind of run the risk of if you have too quick a hook, you don't want to hurt that kid's confidence. He talks about that sometimes in terms of you don't want to put a young guy out there too fast, have them get, to use a very casual term, punked out before they're ready to play, and for that to hurt their confidence. I don't know if that went into it or not. Jack Plummer's always seemed like a naturally confident young man to me from afar, so I don't know if that was a concern or not. But I do think that Plummer is, of the two, the one that makes a little bit more sense because you have enough invested in him at this point. He's played games, and I think he's talented enough to help you win. And he was getting better before the Illinois game as well, so it's possible he just kind of looked at it like they had enough stored up in Jack Plummer here to where they should try to continue building on that.
A lot of people had Purdue and Nebraska as two of the teams that would be climbers in the Big Ten West. It hasn't quite happened that way to different levels with those two teams. But it's been my feeling, and still really does continue to be, that those are two teams that will be pretty influential in the West in years to come. Hopefully, at least from Purdue's perspective, it feels like maybe, you know, not very far away. And I'm sure Nebraska feels the same way. What do you think about the two programs and their futures?
Well, I think this might have been a year where Purdue took a step up the ladder, had Purdue had a chance to. It's hard to climb the ladder when your legs have been cut out from underneath you, which is, you know, I think looms large over everything about this season is just the injuries. You have never had the team you planned on having this season, you could have had this season, and there's just no way of knowing how things would have turned out. I think they would have turned out very differently to this point, but obviously there's no way of knowing. But Purdue obviously had the deck stacked against it. In terms of Nebraska, I think hopes were obviously high this year. They did some positive things toward the end of last year. They're probably still caught in that gray area between the old staff and the new staff, and Purdue learned last year, too, that sometimes – the problems in those situations crop up as much in year two as they do in year one. But in terms of Nebraska, I think obviously they're still in the rebuilding process. I think I've never understood why Nebraska can't have a good defense. I just that doesn't make any sense to me. Why Nebraska can't have a good defense? I think, you know, their ultimate return to prominence, the sort of prominence they expect, probably lies on that side of the ball, because you have to figure with Scott Frost as their coach, they're going to find a way to have good offenses over the years. Their ability to recruit guys is going to get them good offenses, but they have to get better on defense. That's been their problem for a generation now, it seems like.
Yeah, it does. And the whole black shirts thing, to me, needs to go away until you figure
out it.
Yeah, until you can play defense. Stop it with that stuff. Right. That's just me from, you know, way out here, I guess, looking at it. Thanks, Brian.
Right. Sure.
All right, when we come back, we'll bring in Alan Karpik. We'll talk a little bit about the Big Ten, and we'll get his historical view, too, of Purdue and Nebraska. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's bring in Alan Karpik, talk a little Big Ten football in Week 10. Only four games total in conference play, of course, Purdue and Nebraska being one of them. So let's take a look at the other three games. Not that they're all that exciting this week. Number 14, Michigan playing at Maryland at noon. Michigan a 3-touchdown favorite. Remember when Maryland was 2-0? They've only won one game since then.
Yeah, and defensively, they've just completely evaporated. And yes, I think Josh Jackson's going to be back. That will help them. But I think Michigan will go in and do what it needs to do. It certainly showed that against Notre Dame, especially in the second half last week, that Michigan's got some swagger back to it, and it'll be important to the Wolverines that they continue to make progress. And by doing that, that will probably be beating Maryland soundly.
Yeah, a chance for Michigan to sort of change the narrative for this season a little bit here over the last month of the year?
Well, there's no question, because they have two losses, the Wolverines do, and that, you know, a lot of times that they're not in the college football playoff picture, but it's amazing that one win over Notre Dame and the playing better in the second half against Penn State. I think everybody, if you're a Wolverine fan, is waiting now. They think you'll beat Michigan State, and then you got the game against Ohio State, and they can have a very successful season and be in a New Year's Day 6 bowl. And especially, it's going to be defined as success if they beat Ohio State on November 30th.
Rutgers at Illinois, a game that shockingly actually does mean something a little bit. 3:30 kickoff on Saturday. The Illini are like a 3-touchdown favorite, shockingly. A chance to get win number 5, and Illinois has got a path to 6.
Rutgers could win their second straight game, too. You forgot to mention that. No, a huge game for Illinois because the Fighting Illini need to get to 6 wins. They need to be able to beat Rutgers and beat Northwestern, and they'll get to that bowl game. And maybe no-shave November for Lovey will continue. I think that's true. But it's a big game for the Fighting Illini and for that program because they're not completely out of the woods yet. If they don't make a bowl, there's going to be still a lot of negative talk, in my view, in Champaign.
We did not respect, or at least I'll speak for myself, I did not respect Illinois last week. Should I have?
I maybe a little bit. I think that, though, I still think the weather conditions were so bad and limited to what Purdue couldn't do that that game was a little bit of an anomaly in my view.
Northwestern is at Indiana, primetime 7 o'clock start down there in Bloomington. The Hoosiers a 7-point favorite. IU has 6 wins before November.
Yeah, and to the credit to Tom Allen, and that they've won the games they should have won. I don't know how much better Indiana is. You go to Nebraska and you play against 2 backup quarterbacks that actually played very well against the Hoosiers. But I would expect Indiana to win this game, but don't be surprised. Northwestern's got a lot of pride. Their season's gone wrong. This is an important game, actually, if you're watching it from a Purdue perspective, just to see where Northwestern is when the Boilermakers head up there next week. But Indiana is now arrived, but they keep saying they want to win 8 or 9 games. They can do that and get to a pretty darn good bowl if they can win this game, beat Purdue. You all of a sudden you're staring at 8 wins.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you.
That's the Big Ten Roundup for Week 10.
Let's go back in time with a historical look. Here's Alan Karthik.
All right, Al, let's take a historical view at Purdue and Nebraska. Last couple of times these teams have played in West Lafayette, we've had a couple wild games.
Absolutely. I mean, the 1-2 years ago was a tough loss for Purdue. Boilermakers leading 24-12 going into the fourth quarter. Tanner Lee throws for well over 200, maybe even 250 yards in the fourth quarter, and Purdue loses that one 25-24. And it was a night game. Cold, that's what I remember, but it also seemed cold because it looked like that was going to eliminate Purdue's postseason bowl chances. The Boilermakers went on to win at Iowa, and a huge, huge win there, and get themselves back on track. And then 4 years ago, 2015, 55-45, a crazy game where Riker Fife had threw 4 interceptions, but also threw for 400 yards, and Nebraska just was awful that day. It was they call it the lowest moment in Nebraska football history, at least recent Nebraska football history, as Purdue, not a very good Purdue team, puts 55 on them through a myriad of four interceptions and a couple fumbles, 2 or 3 fumbles as well. Crazy game. Anthony Brown had three interceptions in that game as well. So that nothing great to remember except that Purdue did win that game.
John Shoup built his whole Purdue resume on that game. Let's go back to 1959. Purdue and Nebraska played a game way back then. Boilermaker victorious in that one.
1958.
Come on.
28-0.
How did I forget that?
I don't know. 28-0. And what I think is interesting about that is yes, Purdue beat Nebraska 28-0. Nebraska only brought like 30 players to that game. It's amazing. I don't know if they had a shortage, couldn't get on a plane. I'm not sure what the deal was. But that gives you some context. That was a long time ago, and yet Nebraska's sellout streak at home started in 1962, only 4 years later, and Nebraska began its evolution into being one of the best, most heavily supported from a fan base perspective programs in the country, and that was probably what was memorable about that game.
Thanks, Al.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
That's a historical view with Alan Karpik. We'll bring in Tom Dienhardt again, break the game down for Saturday. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio. If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Let's bring back in Tom Dienhar, break down a little bit of the matchups for Saturday's noon kickoff between the Boilermakers and the Cornhuskers. This is a track meet coming up Saturday afternoon.
I think both teams get over 30 points. Should be a pretty entertaining game. Both offenses can move the football, Kyle, and both defenses have their issues as well. So because of the defensive issues, especially for Nebraska, I think Purdue has a chance to find some life offensively after we've seen them struggle in recent weeks. The Nebraska linebackers struggle to cover. I expect Bryson Hopkins to have a big game, similar to what he did against Maryland a few weeks ago, 10 catches, 140 yards. Again, I don't think the linebackers or anybody in the secondary can really match up well with Hopkins. That could create some opportunities for David Bell. Who knows, with Nebraska focused on trying to stop the pass, maybe King Daru approaches 100 yards rushing.
Turnovers, always a key, but you look at this game, and these two teams turn it over a lot. Two of the worst teams in the Big Ten in terms of turnover margin. Does that lead you to believe that that could heavily influence the outcome on Saturday?
Oh, it always does. Purdue typically has lost those turnover battles recently. I think they're minus eight this year, Kyle, 13th in the Big Ten. The only one worse or the worst turnover margin, I believe, is Rutgers. And, yeah, you know, you got to protect the football. And the good news for Purdue's offense, I think, is the Nebraska defense has basically no pass rush. They really struggle to generate pressure. Just not a real big play defense, not a real pressure defense. So you'd like to think Purdue shouldn't be coerced into any turnovers by aggressive play by Nebraska, but they have to be mindful of protecting the ball. And I think more than anything, the Purdue defense needs to step up and make some big plays. They need to get some turnovers, force the action, and try to get this offense some short fields so Purdue can get a lead.
One thing to look at with Nebraska is they do give up a bunch of sacks. Now, part of that is that they've had, you know, dual threat quarterbacks in there, including Martinez. So when you have that at times, he's more susceptible to being chased down in the backfield. Feels to me like this is a game that, you know, if George Karloftis and company can get into the backfield, get after him a little bit, especially after he's had a little bit of time off, that that might be an area that Purdue has an advantage.
No doubt. And also be mindful of the RPO for Nebraska. It's part of their offense. We know Purdue's had some issues defending that this year. They've spent a lot of time on defending that this week. But, again, that's going to be a big part of what Nebraska runs, I think, Saturday. They've watched the film. They know the struggles. They know the holes. And Purdue has to be, again, on its toes trying to eliminate big plays or at least keep them to a minimum against this team. Because, like you said, they can be very explosive on offense with Adrian Martinez.
Purdue would like to have Rondell Moore back. Nebraska will have Wandale Robinson out there. He's a pretty versatile dude, right? I mean, he can move around a little bit. That's going to be a guy that Purdue's got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, playing a lot out of the backfield for them. Yeah, you know, him and Rondale, of course, are good friends, both from the Bluegrass State. They share the same trainer. There was one point where it looked like, you know, maybe Robinson was going to become a Boilermaker in the recruiting process. Of course, came down to the Wildcats and the Cornhuskers. He went west. And, again, he's been everything and then some for Nebraska. You know, talking to some people this week, he's even emerged as a bit of a leader, as a true freshman for that team. So that's going to be a guy, obviously, Nebraska's going to get the ball to early and often.
flip a coin in this one, right? Who you got?
Going to be close. I think the Huskers find a way. I got a 35-31 Nebraska. The last time they were here, they won on a late touchdown, Kyle. Lower scoring game. I think this could be the case where the last team with the ball wins again, and I think that last team will be Nebraska. And I think they find a way to get out of here with a W.
I'll give Purdue the home edge in this one, give the Boilermakers the victory. I do think it'll be close. I've got Purdue 32-30. I just think that there will be some opportunities for Purdue without a great pass rush for Nebraska to get the ball out to David Bell and Bryson Hopkins, maybe establish a little bit of a running game in this one on Saturday. But you're right. I think it comes down in some ways to who has that ball last and if they can get themselves into scoring position. But I've got Purdue very slightly, with the victory at home in Rossing.
It'll be fun. Make sure you bundle up, wear your long johns and parka.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. That'll do it for our show for this week. A thanks, as always, to our sponsors, Horizon Bank, along with the 6th Street Dive, Follett's, and Purdue Federal Credit Union, East End Grill, First Source Bank, and Charters Team at Remax Ability Plus. For Tom Deanhart, Brian Newbert, and Alan Karpik, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.